questions here, and we want to try and at least attempt an answer. And if we don't answer them adequately, well, we'll talk about them after the meeting. So, here's the first one we'll read. Too bad some of our friends are not here tonight. When a person dies, what part of that person goes to eternity, and what part is left, if any? I read that again. When a person dies, what part of that person goes to eternity, and what part is left, if any? Now, as we often point out, each creature, each human being, is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And body makes us earth conscious. Spirit makes us God conscious. And soul makes us self conscious. So where we were tonight for supper, there's a cat around. Nice cat. So I said to the folk now around the table, now what's the difference between that cat and us? We're all creatures. And then the next question is, has that cat got a soul? And the lady of the house says yes. And I believe that to be right. Because that cat, for example, has got personality. And it can feel. And it knows if it's loved or whatever. You kick it, it'll soon know it was feelings. See? Now, what's the difference between an animal and a human being? Well, that animal is not God conscious. But you and I are God conscious. So, when a person dies, the body goes to the grave, and the spirit and the soul, in the Ecclesiastes context, go to God that gave it. But the chart shows us that depending on what Christ has done and what people do with the Lord Jesus, they will either be in heaven or hell. Now, another wee thing that we should say is, when a person dies, body, soul, and spirit doesn't go to the grave. And as I was pointing out there to some of the folk tonight, you know, whenever Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden, to give you for instance, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Now I'm asking you, do you think that was their body that made them God conscious? Pretty obvious that it was some other part, the spirit part. So, the spirit and the soul leave for eternity, and the body goes to corruption on earth. But then the resurrection brings them all together in a future day. So much for that. Right. Now here's another one. The body that is raised at the rapture will be the same as our earthly body. Now, answer to that question is that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the body that is sown, if it's grain or of some other substance, there's a link between what is put down and what comes up. So if a seed of corn, a seed of wheat or barley or whatever goes down, you don't expect to get a seed of grapes or something up. So what goes down comes up, and it's likely a different body, but it's linked. Now then, the next question, linked with all this same idea here. Will we know each other and recognize each other? I guess it's heaven they're talking about. Will we be on the earth during the tribulation in glorified bodies? Now let's answer this next question here. First of all, will we know each other and recognize each other? One answer to that is yes. How do you know? Well, the Mount of Transfiguration, for example, here's the Lord Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and here is Moses and Elias, and there are no introductions. The Lord didn't say, now, Peter, you're the man that always talks up. This here is my friend, Moses. And here's my other friend, Elijah. They never met before, but they all knew each other. So, we will all have identity in heaven, and I take it we will know each other. Now, will we be on the earth during the tribulation in glorified bodies? Well, the answer to that is it depends who you talk to. I think of some of my beloved brethren tonight, they would say to that, yes, there will be on the tribulation earth. I doubt it. I would say, as far as I can see, you and I are a heavenly people. And when we leave the world, we're going to heaven. Now, if you want to hear more about that, I don't want to get into any more sidebars on that. But we can talk a little more about it, if you wish, after the meeting. All right. Now, these are all related ideas. Will we be known as different from everyone else? Will we be recognized by people we knew before the rapture? And all I can say is what I've indicated, all of these questions relate to the same idea. Yes, we will know each other in eternity, in heaven. Now we're talking about those that are saved. Others now we're not interested in, but these are all to believers. And others that we have never known, and it's going to be nice, for example, to meet Saul of Tarsus on the Golden Street. He had a time when he had a manner how and he had a place where he was one for heaven. All right. Now, I could spend all the time on that, so I'm going to try and answer them as briefly as possible. All right, here's the next one. Well, that's interesting. Who will preach the gospel during the tribulation period? Now, we have indicated already that it will be the 144,000 of Revelation chapter 7, 12,000 for every tribe. They are not phantoms, they are people, they're men. I believe them to be literal. And they will be the evangelists of the tribulation period. And they will go into all the world and will preach the gospel. And by the way, there will be people saved by the million. A multitude that no man can number, Revelation chapter 7. And it will be the result of these people's work. And if the Lord comes tonight, very, very soon afterwards, the 144,000, wherever they are tonight, they're likely living in the world, they'll rise up, been saved by the grace of God, the Spirit's gone, but the Word of God is here. And they'll be saved, and they'll start immediately to preach the gospel. Will it be the same as what we preach today? As we again talked around the supper table tonight, the gospel of the grace of God brings men to know Christ. That's the bottom line. Him to know is life eternal. And every soul in every age that will ever be saved must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way they'll ever be saved is through faith in what Christ has done, having learned their need and all the rest of it. So, the gospel that these 144,000 will preach, in essence, is the same as ours. It will introduce them to Christ, and they will be born again and saved by the grace of God. Now, they will be brought into the kingdom, whereas you and I are going to heaven. And that will be, I take it too, that in millennium days, the gospel will be preached. And people ask, why? Because every person that's born into the world will be born a sinner. And they need to hear the gospel. Now, some of that then a little further tonight. Okay, here's another one. Now, how you answer this one. Will people who turn down the Savior in the age of grace have a second chance to be saved? One word to that. No second chance. That's what the Bible teaches. How do you know? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and about verses 10 and 11 is the cardinal scripture. Others support it. Because these people refused the gospel, that they might be saved. God intended that they would be saved, but they refused it. They will believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who received not the love of the truth. It's a very sad picture, but it's true. And God is a righteous God, and people in our day who have heard the gospel and turned it down will never be saved after the Lord comes. By the way, the statisticians tell us that there's 30% at least of our world tonight have never heard the gospel once, or never heard about the Bible or the Lord Jesus. People can't take that in. with all the TV stations that we have and the satellites floating over our heads and all the rest of it, people say that's ridiculous. I'm telling you, I have met people in my lifetime, and I'm not that old yet, that never heard the gospel once. But a thrill tonight to know that you and I are saved by the grace of God. Now, that's another subject that takes us a lot of time on. Okay, here's another one. When newborn babies die, do they go to heaven? Answer, yes. Doesn't matter what home they come from or wherever. What their parents know or what they don't know, they're covered by the blood. And what, there's an infinite value of the sacrifice of Christ is enough to save every one of them. Can angels sin? Yes, they can. How do you know? 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude tells us there were angels that kept not their first estate. They couldn't keep rank. That means they couldn't be content with the place that God had given to them. And because of that, they sinned and were cast out. Whenever the devil said, I will aspire and be as God, sin began and out he went. So, angels can sin. Now, that's a very cursory, quick view of the questions and answers, and if anybody wants to have some more thought about that, we'll be happy to talk about it a little later. The time's going on, so before we read, let's just look at this chart. No time for revision tonight, by the way. We're happy to see you. All right. Last night we covered this ground, the Lord coming in glory with his saints. We pointed out, let me point out again, that when he comes in the rapture, he will come for his saints. Did you get that? Two different prepositions in the English language. When he comes tonight, he will come for his saints. He will come to the air, the atmospheric heavens. When he comes at least 7 years down the road, he will come with his saints. And he'll come to earth, as we saw last night. I can't go over that ground tonight again. All right, here we are. So, as soon as Daniel 70th week is finished and complete, we're into this area of the chart tonight. And for our purposes, the millennium. People ask, what does it mean? 1,000. It's on the chart there. There it is. 1,000 years. Where do you get that? Well, we'll read about it. Revelation chapter 20 when we get there in a minute or two. All right? Now, the millennium has a start, but it has an end. And everything in our world has a start, but it also has an end. And exactly the same in this seventh dispensation that the world will yet witness, in many ways ideal. But people born in the millennium will be born sinners, same as the first baby that was ever born into the world, Cain. And everyone sins, apart from Christ. See? So this age here will have sinners in it. And that's why we have things like feigned obedience. People say, what does feigned mean? Well, that's the idea of being hypocritical. Not genuine. Outwardly, yes. Inwardly, no. What will end finish with those type of people? Well, the map shows us here. There's the battle of Gog and Magog. And let me point out to you, lest we forget, that during this time here, this old devil, see him there, Satan, he's in the bottomless pit. Now, people tell me today that Satan is in the bottomless pit. And I say to them sometimes, were you ever tempted to do anything wrong? Well, certainly. But what do you think that is the motivation behind it? The evil principle was within us, all of us. I understand all that. But the devil works on that. And the day will come for 1,000 years in this world, imagine, no devil. Fell right from the immediate presence of God to the heavenlies, to the earth.
here now to the bottomless pit, and finally he goes to the lake of fire. A fallen foe, and continuing to fall, and he got the death knell blow at Calvary, Hebrews chapter 2. Now, I want to just say another thing before I forget. Across this bottom of this map, in every dispensation, every age that the world has ever known, you notice here, we have got caskets, coffins. There you are. There they're over there. Here's another one here. Can't see it with a wrinkle there. Right? All the way through. Now, as sure as you and I are sitting here tonight, or standing, if the Lord doesn't come, every one of us will go through the article of death. You thought about it tonight, even the youngest child here. The day is coming, all things being considered equal. And Adam, all die. We're going to die. And right across that, see that there? I want to pick that out. Make sure you see it there. Look. Graves in the millennium. Isaiah chapter 65. We won't have time to read that tonight, but it's there. Now, why do people die? Well, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Because of sin. Death by sin. Death passed upon all men. And there will be death in the millennium. So there will be sin in the millennium. And how will they get it? Well, they'll be born there. Exactly the same as we are in our day. So these are very definite things that we should think about. And then, of course, the nation of Israel will be in Emmanuel's land. And I like this hymn book here, number 190. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, and all the rest of it, the deep, sweet well of love. And the last line, in Emmanuel's land. We all think it's heaven. Good application. But I want to point out to the young believer tonight that Emmanuel's land, see it there? That's Palestine. That's the land of Canaan. The land of God being with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And then, of course, we have all these Old Testament prophets fulfilled. It's fantastic. There's thousands of scriptures literally will be fulfilled. And then the curse removed. I always like to say a little about that. Because in every audience, you always have somebody that likes the garden. Imagine living in the world with no weeds and no curse removed, no thorns. You know, I think of a scripture, for example, the desert will blossom as a rose, no thorns, curse removed, right? And then, here we have up here, a king shall reign in righteousness. That's Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1. And we shall reign with him, so on. Now, I've only touched the fringe. Let's read a little, shall we? Let's start off, please, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And we'll read some basic scriptures, and we can talk about it afterwards, if you wish. So Isaiah chapter 9, please, will be our first scripture here tonight. Isaiah chapter 9. And I wanted to try and pick out those that were simple, that people can understand what we're talking about. All right. Verse number 6 says about this child that is born and the son given. Notice the next statement. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice verse 7. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with judgment and justice, even from henceforth, even forever. Now people say, well, why is the earth going to be burned up? And it says here, this kingdom is forever. Well, we're just looking at the earthly phase of it, but we're going to look at the eternal phase of it as well. Now, when we're in this book, look at chapter 11. One of the outstanding chapters in the Bible about conditions in the millennium is in this chapter. And if you haven't got it marked, please mark it. I'll just read you some of the verses. You can read it for yourself, but I'll just refer to some of them. Verse 6. Here's what's going to happen in the millennium reign. Isaiah 11 and verse 6. The wolf, oh brother, also shall dwell with the lamb. Is that happening today? And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now I'd like to ask people, is the lion eating straw tonight like an ox? Pretty obvious. No. And the sucking child shall play in the hole of the asp, or as others translate, the cobra. I would like to ask your mother tonight, would you like to leave your little one down beside the den of a cobra? Pretty obvious tonight that these conditions haven't come yet. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder is the word. The cockatrice's den. The adder's den. Listen to this verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, there's all kinds of other things we could read there, but you can look at that for yourself when you get a minute. There's some beautiful further touches in that, but we should read on a little more into the New Testament. And maybe we should look at Matthew chapter 19, please, and just read you a verse or two here that might be helpful along this line. And I'll just pick out the verses. You can look at the passages when you get a minute. Matthew chapter 19. And people say, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that we had anything in here about the kingdom. Yes, we do. So Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 28. Now it says here, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's a throne of glory for him ahead. Acts chapter 3 is another one that we should maybe read. The book of the Acts, please, chapter 3. And you can look at this as well. I'll just read the verses here now that relate to this subject that we want to talk about tonight. So, Acts chapter 3, please. And there are a number of verses here we could read, but we'll just read, I think we'll read at verse 19. So, Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now listen to this verse. Whom the heavens must receive, that's where he is tonight, until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, since the world began. Now, there are other verses we should read. Maybe I should just read a little more just to let you see, you know, what we're talking about. Maybe Revelation chapter 20. And please notice here, I was going to read some other scriptures, but at least I should read this one. So, Revelation, please, chapter 20. So if you have your Bible open here, let me point out to you, here are some of the things that we have talked about. Verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit. That's what I've pointed out to you tonight on the chart. And shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Okay? Turn a little further now at the end of verse 4. And he lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Notice now at the end of verse 6, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, and all the rest of it. Now when I'm here, please notice verse number 2 of this chapter, 1,000 years. Verse 3, 1,000 years. Verse 4, 1,000 years. Verse 5, 1,000 years. Verse 6, 1,000 years. Verse 7, 1,000 years. Now the Lord will bless his word to each one of our hearts tonight. All right now. You can't read Revelation 20 without seeing this. He's talking about 1,000 years. Now I believe that every instant in the book of Revelation that is numbers, if it makes sense, you accept it literal. Got that now? If the sense is nonsense, you look for another sense. And at that particular time, you will then look at something that's figurative. So, it's a rule of thumb that will help you to interpret the book of Revelation. Wherever you can, interpret it as literal. But if it makes nonsense, well, you have to go some other way. So I believe tonight that 1,000 years, 6 times over, is mentioned for us. And it's on the chart tonight. And that's where we get it from. There it is. So there's 1,000 years reign that this world will yet witness. And it's the 7th dispensation that the Spirit of God has talked to us about. Now, I wonder today how I could just handle in a few minutes 1,000 years. Well, here's a simple way of looking at it. I want you to think of how it commenced. It will commence. It's got to start. And then I want to think a little about how it will continue. And then the consummation, how it will end. Now, there are physical conditions that this great kingdom will experience. Now, if you have your Bible open at Isaiah chapter 11, I'll point some of them out to you. I was interested to notice today that in verses 6 to 9, that there are 7 conditions of peace that will prevail for 1,000 years. I'll just quickly go down then to show you. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. Is that happening today? No. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. Is that happening today? The calf with the young lion. A little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed together. Lion eating straw like an ox, and the sucking child shall play in the hole of the asp, the crocodile's den, and so on. Now you ask yourself a simple question. Is that happening tonight in British Columbia or in Canada? Pretty obvious, no. So obviously then, this kingdom hasn't come. So what's going to happen? Well, how is it going to start? Well, I read you one scripture, for example, to tell us at the start, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is in the heavens, whom the heavens must receive. After resurrection and ascension, he's up in heaven. And he's there until the restitution of all things. And that restitution of all things has to do with our world. For a minute now, let's just find out on this map how this will start. Remember what we said? This woman here with the scarlet robe and riding the beast, with all these 7 heads, 10 horns. And you remember we told you all false organized religion will be put down forever. And the political people are the ones that will be used. The Western Confederacy, the men of sin. He will get absolutely sick of being directed by religion. And God will allow it to happen. And Babylon will be completed and it will be annihilated. And all false organized religion down forever. Dreadful thing to have to say about it. We're not here to criticize, I've told you tonight. We're telling you what the Bible teaches. And this is preparatory to the establishment of the seventh dispensation in our world. Now, a little practical thing. It's very interesting to notice that in Revelation chapter 18, now I didn't read it tonight, but you can read it for yourself. There's a call from God to his own. Come out from among them. Be not partakers of their plagues. Before the deluge falls and the destruction of all organized religion is known in the world, the call is to come out and to stay out. Is our God a righteous God? Absolutely. Will he destroy the righteous with the wicked? Never. Oh, how kind and good of God. In a late stage in the history of the world that we know, the call is ever to come out. To touch not the unclean thing. That has never changed. Do you know that even back, for example, just to take a place, there are several others, that God put a difference between the Egyptians and his people in the land of Egypt long ago. The land of Goshen had light in all their dwellings, and the Egyptians had darkness. And 2 Corinthians 6 says, what communion and what fellowship has light with darkness? Can't have it. You and I tonight, we're in the world, but we're not of it. And it was ever God's mind that his people should be separate. Old Balaam said the same thing, and he knew very little. The people shall dwell alone, the nation of Israel, and not be reckoned among the nations. What happened to them? They lost their pilgrim character. And the line of demarcation between the ungodly and the saved was broken down. That's what the old devil's working at these days that we're in. And he wants to make everybody look the same. And there's a sense in which everybody is the same. But as far as divine things are concerned, God always puts a difference between his own and those without Christ. So, it's a very simple practical thing from this chart tonight, as we think of the great millennium reign of Christ that's about to commence right here for our purposes tonight on this chart. And God brings that call to come out. And then, as we saw last night, with Armageddon finished and the judgment of the living nations, that's a most interesting scripture. I'd love to have chanted to read that tonight. I was tempted to read that too, but I'll just quickly refer to it as the establishment, the commencement of this great kingdom. And again, the same truth is emphasized for us. The God of heaven in the person of his Son makes a difference between goats and sheep. Goats represent nations, millions of people that turn away from God at no time for the brethren of the day in the great tribulation. And the sheep are those that befriended them. And they'll go into the kingdom of our God and Savior Jesus Christ on the earthly sphere of it. And then as we pointed out last night, it's not on the chart here, that Ezekiel's temple will be rebuilt. And there's a hint of it here because the nations of earth are going to come and worship. There it is. Gentile nations go up to Jerusalem to worship. God will ever have a testimony in our world and in a coming day. Thank God tonight for what he has revealed to our hearts. So, whenever that great day commences, there will be a moment, now listen carefully, there will be a moment in the history of the world, and there won't be a sinner in it.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, you just look here at this chart, for example. There's the sheep. And then, of course, there's the brethren associated with it. And the brethren are the remnant of the nation of Israel that will go into the kingdom. And the sheep are the Gentile nations that will befriend them and be with them. But whenever the kingdom starts, every soul that's born into the world will be born a sinner. But there will be a moment when all the enemies of God's people will be put down, and the old devils in the abyss that we have talked about, and not a sinner in the world. Can you think of that? It's an amazing fact. Think that over. It won't last forever. But as we get into this kingdom here, we're going to find out that conditions will change. Now, let's say a little now about the continuance of it. I am going to suggest to you tonight that the Bible is a cycle. And it starts at one point in the circumference of the circle. And we know the story of how creation came into being. And there's the fair paradise of God, the Eden of God. And there's the tree of life. And there's the river that runs there from the garden and into four heads and waters the earth. You know the story. And man and woman lived for hundreds of years. The oldest man that lived in the world, 969 years. Some folk were asking us tonight, I don't know what he looked at when he was almost 1,000 years. Was he crouched over? Had he gray hair? We don't know. I always think of Adam. Adam was the man that was put to sleep by the Lord, by the God of heaven, the Lord God. He lived for 960 years. And yet you and I, by reason of strength, Psalm 90, we can live 80 years. It's an amazing thing. What a change in the whole view of creation tonight. And God is behind it. But whenever we come into this area here now, and all of this part of the map is all gone, and we're in here, we're back to the same cycle. No curse. Curse removed. The groaning creation of Romans chapter 8, for example, behind us forever. And there will be people that will move into the millennium. Listen carefully now. And they will have a spiritual relationship with the God of heaven and with the Lord Jesus. And they will be alive and well at the end of 1,000 years. It's an amazing thing. And then Isaiah 65, and we didn't read that either, but you see, a sinner at 100 years, cut down, will be looked at as old. And a child living for 100 years will be looked at as young. Wonder what it'll be like to meet somebody 1,000 years of age. Now, to give you some idea that we can't equate with that. Whenever we were down there in the Midwest earlier this year, I noticed in one of the daily papers one day that the oldest person in the U.S. died. And if I remember correctly, it was a lady. She lived for 114 years, proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by her birth certificate. And the oldest woman in the U.S. was taken, and I immediately thought of the Bible. Imagine people living for 800, 900 years. And we think it's fantastic. And of course, Moses, 120 years. And he was as strong at 120 as he was at 40. And he didn't need glasses. He saw the great inheritance that the nation would go over. And he went into eternity, as we all know. So, there are things about this conditions in the world. And people say, what about climatic conditions? Well, I'm going to make a few suggestions to make you think. You know the way the earth tonight is tilted on its axis. So, it is rotating round the sun in the solar system. But then, it's tilted tonight on its axis. And there it is, spinning and rotating. And it's been suggested that when the millennium reign comes, that earth will come right back up again, where north will be the true north. It's magnetic north tonight. Now I want to tell you something. Every one of us talk every day about the weather. I'm sure we have talked 20 times today at least about the weather. You talk to your friend on the phone, first thing, how's the weather out there? Everybody's talking about the weather. I want to tell you that the weather patterns are changing wherever you go in our world. And it could be that the stage has been set that when that comes up, we'll be into conditions in the Garden of Eden, as far as the climatic conditions are concerned. And conditions in the world, the great deserts of earth will blossom as a rose. And there will be an explosion in the population. And people will go back to primitive living. And these scriptures in Isaiah and in Jeremiah show that the very implements of war, the spears, will be made into pruning hooks and plowshares and all the rest of it. Man will know war no more. What a day. We're afraid of wars and rumors of wars and all these things that are happening in our day. But what a day that will be. And that's all to do with this part here. Now let me just talk a bit here about this feigned obedience. And everyone that comes in will realize, Psalm 2, he will rule with a rod of iron. Autocratic government. Theocratic government is what God has in view, his ideal, through one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you see, everybody won't have an acknowledgement of him as Savior. They will go along, and they will feign it. They will fake it. You understand what I'm talking about now? They're not genuine. They think that they are. People will look at them. But oh, they will harbor thoughts in their minds and in their hearts against Christ until finally the old devil's allowed to come out, as we read tonight in Revelation 20. And then we come into this situation here. And the people that will stand at that battle are like the sand of the seashore. That tells me there will be millions in that great day of millennium reign. And many of them will be against Christ. Sad situation. Well, let me tell you something. People say, change the environment and man will be okay. Useless. Here's an ideal situation here. Everything's ideal. Man's a total wreck. If he's left to his own devices, he's a rebel. So we don't need to change so much the environment tonight in our world, planet Earth. We need to change man, change human creatures as we go along the way. And so, it'll be nice if you get an opportunity, read sometime Isaiah chapter 65, go down the verses, think of conditions in that particular chapter, and sin will come up. And every time you have sin coming up, we have the millennium reign. Nothing is perfect. Righteousness will reign. It won't dwell until a further day. So there's a big difference. Now that brings us in to some of these things here that we have talked about. And don't forget, there will be funerals in the millennium reign. I'd like to ask you something. What language will they talk in the millennium reign? And there's a possibility there'll only be one language. And we'll come right back into where we were when we started over here with the dispensations of Scripture. And after the flood and all the rest of it, the dispensation of human government, and you remember how he came down and confounded them, and no one could understand their own language. Everybody spoke a different one. But maybe in this day there'll be one language. I don't know which one it'll be. Depends who you're talking to. Some people think it'll be Dutch. I don't know about that now. But there'll be one language possibly. And the communication will be outstanding. And there'll be no limit of any kind. And those things that I read to you in Isaiah chapter 11. Imagine the lion tonight with the roar in the desert. You go down to some of these safaris and get out of the car and walk around. You'll soon find out if the old lion is eating an ox, eating straw like an ox or not. Tell you, we haven't come there yet. But it will be a marvelous day. Whenever the creation and the groan and the roar will be out. And it will be a great testimony to the God of heaven and to the Lord Jesus. Now let me just finish on this point before the time gets away on me. Now how is this whole thing going to finish? Well, you see in here, the devil comes in here, in the bottomless pit. Follow across here. See that arrow there? Satan loosed for a little season. And we read it there in Revelation chapter 20. God's behind it. And he will incite people again. And all of these in this rectangle here of feigned obedience will rise to his bait. And Gog and Magog, maybe the principality, and maybe the empire will be involved. And fire will come down from heaven. Look at that. Destroy the whole lot. And look what happens now to the devil. Look, there he goes. Into the lake of fire. Never was God's intention that any of his creatures should be there. But because of their attitude to the person of Christ and turned away, that's when many are going to be. Now how will this whole thing finish? Well, Revelation chapter 20, we looked at some of these. And we'll just have a quick word now on some of these things here and how they finish. Now I should have read you 2 Peter chapter 3. Maybe we'll read that on the Lord's Day. Now you see, this is the day of the Lord. It includes from that line there, where I am now, right across this map to this line here. Day of the Lord is earthly in its character. How will it finish? 2 Peter chapter 3. The elements will melt with fervent heat, and the wicked works of the world will be burned up. And the heavens will be rolled together as a scroll. And God will see to it that the very creation that he created at the start will have to be burned up and purged with fire. Oh, that's a very, very solemn line of things. And that's how this thing here will finish. Now, one of the questions was, all these millions that are living on the earth at that particular time, where will they be? Well, I can't tell you exactly where they'll be. I don't know for sure, but this I do know, that God will likely make some way of escape for his people, and they'll be preserved while this purging is going on that 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about. Now, if that's ahead for this old world, how about us? Well, Peter says, seeing these things are so, and the elements will be dissolved and will melt with fervent heat, what manner of people ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness in view of that day that's coming? We're not here to fill our heads only. We want to fill our hearts. And the whole thing is this. We need to live holy lives. And I had three simple ideas in my mind today as I thought of this great thing. I want to talk about it for just a minute in a practical vein. There's a great day coming for this old world. And then, of course, it will end in doom as far as this part of it is concerned. But you know, there's going to be happy days on earth when the old devil is there in the abyss. Conditions will be great. And every man will sit under his fig tree, his vine. It'll be a happy day. I'd like to ask you tonight, you a believer? Well, certainly I'm a believer. Are you happy? Are you really happy? My sins are forgiven. They're gone. We're going to heaven. Are you happy tonight? There are so many Christians, and they're downcast, and they're all upset. I say to some people sometimes, come on out here, we'll have a little look. See that sky out there? Do you think that'll fall? They say, that's ridiculous. I said, well, have a cheer and up. Oh, thank God tonight that we're a happy people. Who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord? Here we are tonight. Everything is made. We're on the side that has won. Now, I'll tell you another thing. Whenever we get into here, in the big picture, there will be harmony. Every man will be under his own fig tree and in his own vine. They'll work together. These Gentile nations will come up into Jerusalem. The highways, and as you read in Isaiah and in Jeremiah 2, there will be a highway made right into Jerusalem to make it easy for these Gentile nations to come up to Ezekiel's temple to see how it's all done and to worship the God of heaven. There will be harmony. I want to say tonight, in a world of disunity, the assembly of God's people is a harbinger, is a witness, is a testimony to harmony amongst God's people. Psalm 133. It was there that the Lord commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. Blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The world knows nothing about it tonight, but what a testimony. And we can see it here reflected. And then, of course, as I've indicated already, in 2 Peter chapter 3, there's holiness. And in this great area here, for centuries, holiness will be the order of the day. Could you take those three itches home with you tonight? To stir our hearts as we go into a world that knows not Christ. God wants us to live holy lives. He wants us to live happy lives. And he wants us to live in harmony. The traveling days are done. So, time's gone. We've got to stop. But this particular thing here is amazing to me. And as I look back over this whole chart here, let me quickly go over them. Age of innocence. And then age of conscience over here on this part of the map here. And then the age of human government, family government, law, grace, millennium, the whole seven of them. So we hymn we used to sing, man is a total wreck, can never reach the shore. All who trust in Jesus Christ are saved evermore. And I hope that everyone that has come to these meetings for these nights that we've been together, that when the last step is taken in our world and we arrive in eternity, that all of us will be safe forevermore. And our only hope tonight is the person of Christ, his finished work at Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection. If you believe on him tonight and you're rested where he rests and where God rests, will be saved and safe in heaven when life on earth is past. Even our little children, the Lord preserve and keep them growing in a cruel world. And indeed, in these days of millennium reign, a little child shall lead them. We've seen that in different times across the world where little children led their parents to the Lord Jesus. Well, adults couldn't do it. Same principle as we're talking about. So we've only touched the fringe. But thank God tonight, at least, we have given you the overview. And on the Lord's day, if the Lord be not come, for the minutes that are left on the Lord's day afternoon, we'll address this area here. The great eternal state. And read the verses that are appropriate. Not too many in the Bible, but we'll learn some of the things that God would have us learn as we think of it. So tonight, we've got to stop. The millennium reign. When does it start? After the Lord comes back. And all the different things about it. How long does it continue? 1,000 years. How will it be consummated? Through this battle here. And the old devil going into the lake of fire. And then we will talk a little about this on the Lord's day. The great white throne judgment set up. And space. And time no more. And all the rest of it. God, help us to live for him. We've got to stop.